Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Jamie Brown. Jamie is a champion of social emotional care and character education. His passion for promoting student-driven leadership led to the development of the first district-wide peer leadership program in New Jersey public school education. Jamie earned a national promising practice from character.org from Accept University, a three-tiered SEL assembly series promoting inclusion, acceptance, empathy, and citizenship in schools. Jamie's career includes working at a state and national school, a district of character, and a top 100 U.S. News and World Report district. Jamie is a former Teacher of the Year, ASCD Emerging Leader finalist, and author of The Road to Awesome, a Road to Awesome book that's coming out soon. So he is an author, a speaker, and a coach. Welcome to the podcast, Jamie.
I appreciate you having me. I'm really excited to be here tonight.
So let's start off with the question I ask everybody at the beginning. Tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and you were pulled out.
Sure. I got to start by saying I absolutely love this question. It had me thinking for a while about, you know, so many experiences that I had forgotten about, maybe put away in the trenches. But my story starts with a letter that was about 10 years old that I had written to one of my graduating senior classes. It was a tradition I had every year. The last class of the year, I would write individual letters to each of my senior peers and a letter to the class. And the last line of this letter for this particular year read, "I hope you learned all as much from me that I learned from all of you." Mm-hmm. And the significance of that line was probably the defining moment in my career that has got me to this moment right now. And It was probably the day I learned some of the greatest leadership qualities as a professional. Mm-hmm. And those were humility and accountability. And a little backstory of what I did at Old Bridge High School for 17 years. I was an English teacher, and then I got to be a peer leadership teacher, and ultimately the program director, and take it district wide. And I got to work with all of the seniors in this program every single year. And I was blessed and fortunate enough to where these seniors would spend 3 years building a resume, ultimately to apply for this program that was a service learning leadership program that was an actual course in their class. So the investment that they had made for 3 years proved how much it meant to them. And in 2015, I had been doing it for about 5 years at this point, and we were driving the train as a leadership team. We had an administration that came in around 2010 that was new, young, and just giving you the green light to just go full force in whatever was best for the kids. There was no micromanaging, and they just trusted you, and that administrative team is still there today, and to say I owe them everything is a complete understatement. Principal Sasso is still the principal there. And he's just an incredible, incredible leader. And what we were trying to focus on in that change on the district's vision was to focus on character and, you know, kind of building relationships and hoping that that would take care of some of the concerns we had and some of the numbers that we wanted to move the needle in a different direction in terms of chronic absenteeism, you know, discipline, referrals, cuts, those kinds of things. So we had worked so hard and used peer leadership as the vehicle, the student leaders to help collaborate with character.org in Washington, D.C. and apply for a state and national high school and school district of character. And to fast forward that part of the story, it ultimately happened. And it was a milestone in our school district, in our high school. We were a high school of almost 3,500. Third largest in New Jersey, and a school district of almost 20,000 with 16 schools. So we were a massive district, and to gain those accolades were incredible. In that moment of time, I had also earned Teacher of the Year. I had earned a national promising practice for the second time from Washington D.C. at character.org. And those accolades were because of those senior peer student leaders. You know, they were the voice and the actions behind it all. And after that, you know, that following year, without realizing it, I had become complacent. And I think we all hit that moment in our career, you know, especially when you get to that halfway point of like a 30-year career, you know, it's almost like the educational midlife crisis, if you will. You know, you start to question stuff, or you stop trying and putting in so much effort, just like anything else, right? It's not just a teacher thing. And I guess I was doing that without even realizing it. And the biggest event that we had every year in our peer program was we went out to an overnight peer retreat. And the buildup for the month of September would usually happen the last weekend of September with the peer class was, it was like you're going to Disney World. And the first month was just literally spending time learning about each other, building relationships, and this anticipation of this event that, again, these seniors now had waited 3 years to be a part of. And they had siblings that had gone through it. And the only rule that they were told every year is they couldn't tell you anything about it. You just had to experience it. So they knew nothing, but thought they did. And you know, they would build this t-shirt. That was kind of the last objective we would do days before we would leave. They would make class shirts, and there was about six classes every year. And each class had their own design, their own theme. And that was what we unveiled the night we got there. And it kind of defined who we were. And that peer retreat was epic. It was amazing. Again, we were riding this high from the year before, all these accolades. And I guess around November, it was right before Thanksgiving, I felt different. I felt like my class wasn't performing. I felt like peer wasn't giving me what it normally does. And I really thought it was the class, you know. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm going to have to yell at a peer class. Yeah. Like, these are the best of the best, you know, kind of thing. And I just remember just kind of walking in for a couple of weeks and just feeling that way. And then realizing, like, all right, I got to do something. I got to say something. And, you know, I'm not a yeller. I'm not into that kind of stuff. But I remember addressing it and just being like, guys, like, you know, you waited 3 years for this. This is your moment. You're the leaders of the building. Like, you're taking this for granted. You know, I just tried to give a speech that was meant to be motivational, but kind of, you know, like, I'm not mad at you, I'm disappointed kind of thing. And I remember giving this speech and feeling real good about it. And one peer leader stayed after the class, and I could tell she was upset, and she was a little fragile, you know, didn't like that kind of, you know, stuff. And I could tell she was maybe going to cry. And I just asked her what was wrong. And, you know, she said, you know, that speech was meant for you. And it's the first time a student, you know, had said something to me like that. And I really didn't even understand, I don't think, in the moment. I remember just saying, well, you know what, listen, why don't you guys go home? I want you guys to talk as a class, because that's what they would do. And they would kind of like go over the day, and then they would meet tomorrow and reconvene. That would be the first 5 minutes of class. And I said, we'll talk tomorrow. And I remember I was angry, she was upset, blah, blah, blah. We left. I remember going home that night and just being like, what the heck did that mean? And just frustrated, like, she didn't get it. She didn't understand. And the next day I came in and the class was already there. And I never in 20 years had rows and never did the alphabetical order thing. I always had a circle. That was just my thing. I'm just not anything but outside the box, because now everybody's outside the box. So I go back in or go underneath it or something. So my room always had to feel different. So they walked in, and typically they would wait for me and we would all walk in together. And I remember this was weird. And I walked in and they were already sitting down, and they said we wanted to go first, because normally I'd introduce the period. And I said, okay. And one at a time, a couple of them started talking. And the thesis of what their message was to me was, you're not the teacher we signed up for. I remember one student. Yeah. And I remember one student who ironically now works at the high school. She's incredible. And I knew she would, said, you're not the same person that brought us to the peer retreat. And I remember thinking, like, you know, when you get challenged by a student, your natural reaction is like, go to the office or something. Right. And it was a little back and forth of that. And I just remember just listening, because I was frozen. And, you know, they were saying, you know, you taught us to speak up and, you know, share our voice and have it be heard. And we just want you to know that, you know, you haven't been giving us what you promised we were signing up for. Cause they would go through a 3-week application process of group interviews, individual interviews, Project Adventure course. You know, we had a peer night where they would do this obstacle course. It was a full ringer of so much. And again, plus, you know, 3 years of community service that they had to show and bring to the interview process. So they had invested everything as a teenager. And I remember, again, in that moment, there was no heated exchange. There was nobody yelling. It was just this gut check, this reality check of 17 and 18 year olds telling me, you know, who had been teaching at this point for 15 plus years, like, you're not the peer teacher we wanted. And if you knew me, that's all I was known for in the school.
Yeah.
Was like Mr. Peer Leader, right? Like the guy mm-hmm. who gets to go on all the trips and everything. And I mean, it hit me hard, but I remember before we could come to some conclusion, the bell rang, you know, and I had them first period of the day. So I had to go through the whole day.
Yeah.
I was agitated. And I remember going home and really digesting everything. And I think the typical response when we're challenged emotionally is to be defensive. You know, you find resentment, you blame everybody but yourself, and you don't take responsibility. And I was doing just that. You know, you go through the, well, you know what, then I'll quit peer. I won't be the teacher anymore. I'll just drop out and let them find someone else. And I really didn't have my answer to what I was going to do or how I was going to approach the situation, because I still didn't believe it was me. And it wasn't until the morning after, when I was driving to work, you know, our one entrance to the building, if you got there at 7 o'clock on the dot, you'd go right into the building, no traffic. If you get there at 7:01, you get behind all the buses. And of course, this day I'm running late. So I was stuck in traffic about 100 yards from the school for about 30 minutes. That's just the typical routine, depending on when you get there. Yeah. And I remember really just getting lost in this thought and kind of playing back days and like, wow, yeah, you know what? Like I'm not doing all those exercises of team building, relationship building. I'm not coming up with anything new.
Yeah.
I am sitting at my desk. I am, you know, letting them talk a few more minutes and not getting rolling and not being energetic and being innovative with some of my lessons and just kind of going through the motions. And the more I thought about it, I remember getting teared up in the car on the way to school. I'm like, again, you know, at this point I'm like 20 yards away about to pull in and I'm crying in the car. I mean, and I'm like, it is me. Like, what am I doing? And I remember this feeling of humility, you know, and again, in terms of a leadership quality, it's the hardest one to achieve, I think, you know, as a professional. But if you get it, you can be a complete rock star, you know. And I remember admitting in the car before I got out, I said, I got to take responsibility for this. I got to take accountability, which is another big piece, you know. Talk about, you know, the book that I'm working on. Those are two big components that I hone in on over and over again. And I remember going into the next class and they were ready for a war because they thought I was going to come at them again because I didn't apologize. They were ready to battle like teenagers always are. And I remember walking in and all I said to them was, you deserve better. And just like this, it was a pin drop for about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And like some, you know, in my head, I'm like, somebody just do something. I don't care. Scream at me, whatever. And I remember this one girl, you know, again, her mom worked there. She went off to be an incredible student athlete and just an amazing leader. And she said, that's all we were waiting for, B. They always called me B. They said, B, we're just waiting for you to take responsibility. Just like you always taught us. We're proud of you.
Wow.
I mean, I would get choked up because I haven't thought about this until you asked me this question to think about. And probably the worst day or days of my professional career in mm-hmm. terms of productivity leading up to that moment and what transpired for the remainder of that year was one of the greatest classes I've ever had. Some of the best moments that were the hardest to accept and pin on myself. But I think out of that instance, when we got to the end of the year and it was time to write that letter. And again, that last line where I said to them, I hope you learned almost as much as I learned from you. It has become the absolute tattoo, if you will, of what I believe, what I think education's all about and what we misconstrue and don't think can ever happen, which is a student can actually teach the adult in the room something. And it was the first time in my life that that had happened and that I believed it could happen. You know, again, they were 17, 18. And that last day when I read the letter, they said, you know, they're all crying, I'm crying. And I said, you know, I'm sorry, guys, if I cheated you guys in any way of your time, because we always talked about how valuable it was. Never wish away your time. Any day you don't feel like coming in, just remember that's one last senior day that you get if you stay home or if you just ignore it. And they said to us, you know, they said to me, you taught us to speak up. And even when we were telling you, you know, you were wrong. And they jokingly said, you know, when you get so cocky sometimes and you got your little ego, they said, you still listen to us. And we'll never forget that. And for me, that's my coming out of the trenches, is in that moment, in that graduation ceremony. I remember sitting there staring at my seniors thinking, we had done it, not me, we as a program, we as a class, we as a school, we as a district, we had finally lived up to what we were trying to achieve, which is truly live. Mm-hmm. Empowering student voices, not just making it be lip service, not having it be a painting or a mural on a hallway wall. And that was the first time I had ever seen it. And if you're ever lucky enough as an educator or anyone who hears this to experience that, there is nothing more powerful, more memorable, more emotional and rewarding as an educator, no matter what role you play, then to know you played a role and a part in giving your students a voice and a strong enough one to even challenge you. And coming out of that trench, ever since that day, that has been my mission. That is my vision, no matter what role I've played, even in what I'm trying to do right now. That is the purpose that I'm trying to serve, is to help educators, whether you're a teacher, a support staff, VP, principal, superintendent, feel that, experience that, and have a school culture led that way. I appreciate you asking that question, because again, that was, I thought about it for a long time, and it was even hard to kind of trench up that story. But when I tell you, I was going over it this morning, thinking about it again and looking at some old pictures, and man, it feels good. It feels really good to share that. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad I was able to provide that platform, and, you know, that you were able to tell that in such vivid detail about kind of what led up to that moment, right? And just that trust that the kids had in you to be able to call you out, and the fact that you didn't really see that right away, right? You were resentful and you came back the next day when you had to, it just happened to be fate that you had to wait in the bus line.
Always. And,
so, I mean, that's, like you said, that's the goal, like that we are able to build the relationships with our students enough that they can have that, you know, share their voice. They can call even adults out when need be. And so now you're working with curriculum development in the ACCEPT program. So tell me kind of how you transitioned from the role of teacher into working with character.org and doing character ed with them.
Sure. So, you know, again, while at Old Bridge Public Schools in New Jersey, when we were in the midst of really making headway in terms of, you know, student-driven leadership at the high school, we had always had an eighth grade peer leadership program that was an extracurricular club. And around the same time, you know, again, because of my peer leaders, you know, they said, we spent a lot of time, you know, focusing on this building, but the problems happen before they get here. And again, you talk about the light bulbs of what my student leaders were achieving in this time period is incredible. And when they said that, you know, I started focusing on middle school, and that has been a big driving force of a realization that I think we all miss sometimes as educators, especially if you're like me, where I've literally only been in a high school, you know, in terms of physical building where I was located since 2002. And, you know, once you walk into the middle school, you really have some honest conversations with students, with counselors, with, you know, administration, and you start to hear what they're going through. I wanted to start to develop, you know, programs and concepts that reached the kids before they reached me, mm-hmm. if that makes sense, in a physical capacity in terms of getting to the high school. And the district I was in, it was like I had three opportunities to do so, because we had an elementary set, 10 elementary schools, it was 12. We had two middle schools, so they went to that transition. And then because our high school was so massive, we actually had a ninth grade academy, and that was a separate building on the high school campus. So they literally did three transitions before they got to my building, the main campus, the 10th through 12th grade. So my goal was to set up opportunities to have, again, the student voice lead the train of pro-social change in terms of inclusivity, acceptance, citizenship on and offline. And
this podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcasts. Now let's get back to the episode.
I focused in on middle school and, you know, again, getting the green light from my principal, Principal Sasto, and the APs there, they're just awesome. Mr. Alvary and Mr. Mazurek, superintendent, was a huge character education believer in social emotional learning, as well as the assistant super. So they asked, you know, hey, can we come up with something? And we had hired Challenge Day, which was a company out of California, again, 15 years ago. I don't even know if they're still around. And they came in, did this great like retreat-esque thing in our gym for our middle schoolers. They did 2 days, one at each middle school, but their program was only 2 hours and it held about 100 kids. That was the max. In our eighth grade class was 600. So it was like 100 people got this incredible experience that, again, it was like their peer retreat. They would talk about it all year. And then 90% of the class was like, well, that stinks. We didn't even get to see it. Like, we were in class all day. And I just remember, you know, hearing that from my superintendent and just kind of opened my mouth and said, well, I can do it. And he was like, okay, you're on. Yeah. I was like, that was it, right? You volunteer once, it's over. And it was awesome because I took a ton of time. And again, I have, at the time when I was in Old Bridge, an incredible, incredible peer staff. Mm-hmm. You know, these were gym teachers, English teachers. We worked hand in hand. One of my best friends, Robert Waite, who's the absolute best SAC counselor in America, hands down. Talk about just wears a heart on his sleeve and goes to work every day with a smile for the kids. We worked together feverishly on, you know, what were the components of what we need to teach these kids as they were entering middle school and about to enter, you know, that ninth grade building. So we came up with a concept for Accept University because we wanted everyone to be accepted, because we were dealing with, just like everybody else, you know, this who am I, these identity crisis as middle schoolers and trying to fit in and find your niche. And, you know, a lot of the discipline at that level, you know, especially with social, you know, you see so much harassment and, you know, fake confrontations of keyboard courage and things. So we thought Accept University was just an incredible name, and it was just accept everybody for who they are, but it starts mm-hmm. with accepting yourself. And, you know, we really started focusing on Castle's competencies, self-awareness, self-reliance, you know, that whole resiliency and being competent within yourself. And I wanted to talk about going below the waterline. And I remember having this conversation with, you know, the board of ed saying, this is what I want to do. I want to showcase the 90% that we don't show everybody every day. You know, you see the 10% right now, what I like to wear, what clothing brands, what music I listen to, that kind of stuff. I'm not afraid of you finding that out. But I said, in order to help these kids, we really need to dig below that surface, get below that iceberg and see that 90% that these kids and what we're finding out today, teachers, educators too, you know, don't want you to necessarily find out or want you to, but they're not willing to have the conversation first. You know, they hope that you can discover it for them so they can have that conversation. So we started creating these three plot programs, and Accept University was just probably my greatest walking out of the door accomplishment. As an educator, as I stepped into administration, it still is a three-part SEL and character education combination that character.org really took a blessing to and really appreciated and acknowledged, as well as Tom Murray and Future Ready Schools. We focused on transitioning from elementary to middle. We focused on citizenship on and offline. And then we focused on that transition from middle to high school. And in each of those three assemblies, you know, the last one that we called the graduation, it was a full day SEL retreat. And it was counselors, teachers, the APs, the principal, no shirt, no tie, just street clothes, And I mean, the program, I don't want to give too much away, but you know, anyone who wants to have a conversation about it and talk about bringing it to your school, by all means, I would love to join a conversation. It was all about self-discovery and taking these, not just the kids in the room, but the adults too, through this journey of self-discovering, really being comfortable walking in your shoes and walking a mile in somebody else's. And all I can tell you is the experience, it created a culture of inclusivity, again, acceptance and tolerance, respect. And the results were astounding in terms of, after this became a staple every year for the last 3 or 4 years I was there, we saw discipline go down. We saw class cuts go down. We saw academic achievement, GPA, go up. We saw participation in extracurriculars skyrocket to where our goal and our mission and our slogan was, there's something for everybody. And our goal was to have 100% participation, which we had when I left. And chronic absenteeism, which was a big one at our time, being such a massive school and district, plummeted in the right direction. And, you know, that's what Accept University is all about, you know, discovering who you are again. And there's no discrimination because it's kids and adults in the room together doing it collectively as a team, and seeing that each of them be vulnerable with one another. Walking out of that again in the middle school, that was their retreat. And when I would come back into that building a month later to kind of do my first follow-up, as I would do every couple of weeks, every single time, including the first one, you'd see such a change. You'd feel it. You know, it's almost like when you walk into a concert or you're going to see your favorite team, you just had that energy. It was different. And when I say I'm proud of that, you know, it's when you're looking to invest in changing a culture that's toxic, maybe, or that's broken, or in this case, during the pandemic, that's exhausted. You know, that was the mission. You know, this was obviously pre-pandemic. We're talking right around 2015, 2016, I created that. But, you know, mental health has always been here. Concerns, yeah. Emotional, you know, distress and anxiety, depression, fear, loneliness, you know, incarceration, loss, alcoholism, you know, divorce, those have always been there in terms of, you know, issues that students and adults have been dealing with. I think the pandemic just put a microscope on it and magnified it and amplified the voice of it. So we'd start really paying attention, you know, and that's kind of where I am today, is taking the opportunity. If there, I don't want to say there's a silver lining in the pandemic, but if it is an education in any way, it's that I feel like we're finally addressing in order what's most important.
Mm-hmm. And that's so inspiring to hear kind of how you, that program evolved, and you made that not only the transition from middle school to high school, but also the elementary, because that's just as important, learning those skills of acceptance and humility. And then something that you pointed out as well was going back after you've done that program and doing a check-in, right? Because a lot of time you get somebody to come in and, you know, it's one and done, right? But actually checking in and seeing how it's working a month or so later, I think is crucial when somebody's trying to implement something. Yeah,
absolutely. And that was the most difficult part of it all when I was in it, and still is today, you know, in my new role right now. What I'm doing is, you know, when you can convince, you know, the powers that be to let you do something, right? Like in an assembly format, or, you know, some sort of, we're going to take the kids out of class. Like, that's always like the number one thought, right? Is like, this can't bring value, right? It's, you're just taking away instruction time, which I understand, I guess, as an administrator now. But when I said that after it was all done, and, you know, we started finding out the real problems that were in the school. And I mean, you know, mental health concerns with now young adolescents. We're not in the high school even. When I said I want to come back, that was a tough battle.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like, so many people were like, no, never again. No, we don't want to know this stuff. No, it's not our job. No, we shouldn't be doing this. Don't bring it up again. It took us 3 weeks to have everyone stop crying and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, and I'm like, but that was a good thing. That was a good thing. You know, you finally took the top off the pot that's been boiling forever, and we're helping these kids. And it wasn't until some of the adults who had participated in it, whether they were teachers, again, the counselors, class advisors, when they started sticking up for me and saying, no, we need him. It wasn't want, we need him to come back with his kids, that it was validation. But again, it showed where the real value was. It was just like you said, coming back. Yes, the moment was great. The day is awesome, but I've always prided myself in everything that I do, whether it's an assembly, whether it's, you know, a faculty meeting, whether it's just, I'm going to meet with these groups of student leaders. Mm-hmm. It's not a one and done, because that was always my frustration in this unique program that I was fortunate enough. I would, you know, bring in these people to talk. And like you said, they come in, give this bang up keynote for 60 minutes and I never hear from them again. And that's it. It's like the relationship dies. It's like a first date and it's over. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important. I appreciate you saying that, because that's truly where value is. You know, when you do come back and you keep investing and let somebody know, like, no, I'm here beyond this. The buy-in is real. The buy-in's authentic. Mm-hmm. And again, that needle moves in the direction you want mm-hmm. it to when you get that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you said, it does take a little bit of convincing. Mm-hmm. If there's the budgets, you know, there's a lot of, you know, the time out of class and everything, but like you said, it's being able to have the adults speak up and say they really need you back. It's so important. Let's transition a little bit to talk about your book. You're contracted with Road to Awesome. So tell me about the title, at least the working title, and what people can expect from the book, and if you have any idea of a publication date.
Sure. So there is definitely no title. I was thinking, I've been working, but right now, especially, I don't know when we'll be airing, you know, I don't want to put anything out there that yeah. won't be there. Let me start by definitely saying, as you mentioned, signed with Road to Awesome Publishing, Darren Peppard, complete rock star. I can't say enough about him and how blessed and appreciative I am that he has taken a chance on me, has believed in my story, my why, my vision, you know, my mission, what I'm trying to do here. And, you know, I owe that man a lot, and I'm so happy that I got to meet him. In the same vein, Dr. Brandon Beck, he's another one of my coaches right now, who's working with me, and just another complete rock star. But both of those guys, not even on professional, but personal level, they are two amazing people. So when you hear this, look them up, get to know them, connect with them, because they are just, they will make you a better person just as much as they'll make you a better professional. And that's kind of where my book goes. You know, my book is about my story. It's mm-hmm. it's filled with stories like I told you. And I'm trying to focus on doing two things that I think a lot of people focus on, definitely the educators of the world, and, you know, want to write educational leadership books to help develop those skill sets. And that's definitely in there. I try to hone in on the big ones, like I said, humility, accountability, resiliency, risk-taking. And it's a book about, you know, learning off of my own beats. The thesis is about a varsity jacket that I was chasing ever since I was a little child and I never achieved in athletics. But it talks about, and the book starts about talking about chasing something that you've put on such a pedestal and given it so much value. And when you get there, you realize it's not really worth as much as you thought it was. You know, I talk about how I've earned my varsity jacket and trying to help other people find theirs in a different vein, you know, and I found that through the experiences with my student leaders. And, you know, the book is there to help educators focus on compassion over curriculum, relationships over rigor. And I don't mean to downplay academics by any means, but what I'm saying is showing how if you go below the waterline and you really dive in and get to build authentic, intentional, genuine relationships, and I mean teacher to teacher, administrator to administrator, administrator to teacher to student, student to teacher, administrator, student, student to administrator, all across the board. Books focusing on creating three things. We always talk about the whole child. And I think that in the pandemic, we're realizing we can't just jump into that, right? Because we're finding out now that how much educators are struggling. I've been focusing on, and the book focuses on, what I call whole teacher. We have to model as educational leaders how to support and encourage educators to talk about what they need and have their voice be heard, have them be seen, have them be celebrated, so they know how to do it for the child in the classroom. And I think that's where we've been missing the mark for decades, is that we've always just jumped to the whole child. But I think if it goes whole teacher first, we get ourselves right, then we can help create the whole child. And then ultimately, the trifecta is you create a whole community. And again, some of my stories will show you how I was able to do that, and talk about, you know, building partnerships with community members and letting the parents in, as opposed to being scared to do so. And, you know, every chapter is going to be filled with, you know, tricks of the trade, tips on how to create positive interactions, you know, again, in the building and outside of it, with everybody who's a stakeholder. And again, when I say that compassion over curriculum, relationship over rigor, it's, if there was a thesis for the book, it's really just showing that if you focus on building relationships first, two things happen. You'll have more time than you've ever had to get through more content than ever before. And you'll create an environment where people want to be, as opposed to have to be.
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to seeing that when it does come out. And, you know, there's a lot of things you alluded to already in your story on the podcast. And I think, you know, the best thing people can do is just to follow Road to Awesome on social media, right, for updates on when the book comes out.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm a little more than halfway through right now. I'm probably going to definitely be done writing the manuscript sometime this summer for sure. And then, you know, then it's just waiting for it to get to publication. So it'll be here sooner than later. You know, I'm looking to get it out there again, just so I can help as many educators. But, you know, the key to my book, my manuscript, I want it to not only help educators, but I want to write it for the students too. I want students to be able to pick it up just as much as an educator and learn from it and apply it. That's the goal.
So if people want to have you come and speak at their school, what can they expect from a training? And is it a one, like you said, you always come back, but is the training you usually give, is that like a 2-3 hour thing? Is it both for students and for staff? Like, kind of walk me through what that looks like.
Yeah, so Jamie Brown Leadership offers everything. So Accept University is a once-in-a-lifetime experience that is highly interactive. Like I said, really showing and modeling how to mesh social-emotional learning and character ed together. Can be just for your students. It can be for both students and staff, or it can be for your staff. When I come and speak, you know, I cater to whatever is needed in terms of wherever I can bring value or however I can bring value. So if it's a faculty meeting, a keynote, you know, a 2-hour PD session, a full day, when you bring Jamie Brown Leadership to your school, I'm there for the day. So it's whatever you want. You know, it all starts with me joining the conversation that you're already having as a leadership team. So, you know, my goal and what you can expect in terms of when you invest in me, I invest in helping you, you know, rebrand a positive school culture and climate, revitalize one that might be, you know, broken or in need of repair, or, you know, make something great that's already good, you know. So there's no wrong, there's no I can't, it's whatever you need. It's catered, you know, hour wise. But like I said, if you bring along me to your school, you know, I'm yours for the day. And yes, the follow-ups are available, so I can cater and create whatever it is, however long or short, big or small, whatever you're looking for, students, teachers, and administrators.
Great, great. Well, we've talked about so much today on the podcast in terms of your book, your experience when you had this class working with your students and how they called you out, and then developing the ACCEPT curriculum. Out of everything we talked about on the podcast, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
How important it is to hear, see, and celebrate not just your students, but your staff. And I'm really speaking to the administrators, the educational leaders who have the ability to start the change, how important it is to see and hear everybody. It's right now, it's more important than ever. Yes, I understand we've got curriculum. I understand we've got dates we got to get through. But if you put that to the backside, as we now see, you know, what kind of repercussions that can create, and how much that can make us, you know, be working backwards longer than we need to. So value everybody, see everybody, be proactive, you know, don't be behind a desk, you know, be visible, be approachable, and be proactive, you know, in supporting everybody. And then you will have a school, a district, and a community that is all in, always in, always.
That's great to end with, because I think those are the best leaders, the ones that are serving the community and, you know, working with the staff to see what they need, because it trickles down then to the students afterwards. Where can people book you and connect with you on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. I love being on social. So if you're looking to, you know, start a conversation with me and talk about, you know, bringing me in, jamiebrownleadership.com. That's JAMIEBROWN leadership.com. I'm on Twitter, leadership_JB, and Instagram, Facebook, YouTube is Jamie Brown Leadership. You can subscribe to my YouTube page, whatever you want, hit me up on any of those. And I will absolutely connect with you, even if you just want to collab and, you know, be in a conversation together on social. I love doing that too. But, you know, if your school needs something, you're looking for something, you just want to share ideas, by all means, please reach out. You know, I love hearing stories from educators all over the world. That makes me happier.
It's been a pleasure having you on the Out of the Trenches podcast today and having you share your story. This is hopefully going to inspire the listeners, and that they'll reach out to you with thoughts from listening to the episode. Thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for having me, Dana. I had a blast. Thank you.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if this episode resonates, especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.